B-Pod Studios.
Ready, set, go!
This is Checkpoint XP Daily, your daily dose of esports and video game discussion. A complete look at all things esports and gaming. A production of Beasley Esports XP. Here are your hosts, Nate Bender, Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan.
Checkpoint reached.
Hey, welcome to Checkpoint XP Daily for Wednesday, October 23rd, 2019. Your home for esports and gaming. Coming up today on Checkpoint XP Daily, we're going to talk about a segment that Axios did on esports. Plus, we're going to check in with our social media followers and find out what game you'd want to see swallowed into a black hole and made better. Those conversations ahead here today on Checkpoint XP. Listen, we got to talk about Fallout 76 because they just announced a new subscription program, and boy, people are fired up about it. The subscription program includes private servers, some interesting functionality changes, something called a scrap box, which I'm sure we'll get into. But basically, I've been going through Twitter all day today and seeing all kinds of vitriol from both Fallout 76 players and non-Fallout 76 players alike, just kind of to the tune of, how dare you, Bethesda?
Well, I think we can immediately tune out all of the, or most of the non-Fallout 76 players, because of its rocky launch, there are a lot of people that chose to get on the bandwagon with hating it, and this is just another convenient excuse for them to jump back on that bandwagon.
That's right. Yeah.
So you had mentioned the private servers are live now, so that's really what where the premium service sort of comes from.
And by the way, so this is a private server for you and seven of your friends.
You can invite up to seven friends.
That's right. So it's
not have to be premium members.
That's right. So it is only the premium membership that is required for one person, basically the server owner, and seven of your friends. As long as you have that person on your friends list, you can join their server.
I have to say right off the bat that was the biggest thing I was looking for out of here, right? Because I think private servers, being able to get away from all the riffraff and just sort of play with yourself and not have to worry
phrasing
about pressure.
Yeah. Phrasing.
Wow. Yeah, I got you. Hold on.
Hey, phrasing.
Thank you.
But not having to worry about pressuring your friends into also buying the private service or the private server feature, I think, was definitely going to be a big issue here. Because imagine how fractured the fan base would have been if, in order to keep playing with some of your friends, you had to put money down.
Yeah, I agree. But, you know, as somebody who's not been playing, you know, 76 and has been out of it really since the first few weeks, I think still I understand why people are upset, considering that the game did leave a bad taste in a lot of people's mouths. However, I think moving into this next phase of the game, I don't see how people can really be that angry if you're already checked out of it. What room do you have really to be angry? And the people who are playing this game every day, they're looking at what this is offering and they seem fairly excited.
Yeah, and the divide seems pretty stark between people who, are playing 76 every day. I would be one of those people. And those that have tried it, it wasn't for them, they've moved on. Or, in the worst case scenario, they're just parroting YouTubers that they've heard. Or it's YouTubers parroting other YouTubers.
Rage culture.
In an attempt for clicks. Yeah, there's a lot of that going around. But not only do you get access to the private worlds, you get the scrap box that's unlimited storage for crafting components in your own scrap box container. This one rubs me the wrong way.
I was about to say, you know,
We'll finish the description, because that's not just available in the private servers.
Correct.
That now extends to the live servers
as well. That's right. And the reason that this is problematic is that this is, for sure, no bones about it, pay to win. Mm-hmm. This gives you a paid advantage over someone who doesn't invest in it. Now, there are a few caveats. You can't store bulk items in there, and you can't store...
Well, if it's unlimited, it doesn't matter.
That's true, but bulk is basically almost weightless anyway, and
weapons and armor.
You can't store weapons and armor, and you can't store non-scrapped junk items as well. So they all have to be their base components.
I was honestly very surprised, because that to me makes sense on the private server, but I was real surprised that they allowed you to carry this over onto the live servers as well.
And the thing is, as Nate says, that's pay to win, because if you're unfamiliar with Fallout and how Fallout works, to, you know, craft weapons or continue to build your camp or to do anything, really, you need those raw components, sure, and those raw materials. So if you have unlimited space for raw materials,
you can just bank them all the time.
Yep. And you have an advantage over every other person on the server. Now,
listen, but Bethesda already made this concession two updates ago when they added the fridge item and the scrap bot collector. Those are two items that you have to pay atoms for to get. There's no other way to get them in the game, and they give you a slight advantage over other players who don't buy them. There are ways to earn atoms through the game, but, you know, mostly
it's more of a chore than actually having fun enjoying the game.
Yeah, it's, we all know that Bethesda put it there to be able to get your money, and that's just what it is. If you're a player of the game, you've had to make peace with that and decide whether it was an investment that you wanted to make or not. Speaking of atoms, by the way, along with this subscription, you receive 1,650 atoms every month.
What's
so,
that equivalent to, like, cash-wise?
It's about $16.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So, and by the way, power armor skins, they're somewhere around $12 to $14 a pop, which is very expensive for a digital item. But if you're sold on the game, I've bought so many power armor skins that it's not fair for me to criticize that. However, for me as a player, that's a lot of value right there. That's taking what I'm basically already spending on atoms and giving them to me through the subscription service. I actually think that that's awesome. Plus, you can bank atoms over time.
What a great world where you can make a fake currency and then give it away as part of a benefit. Man,
that's
crazy.
You know, Evil Lives 34 in our Twitch chat over at twitch.tv/checkpointxp points out that ESO basically does the same thing. This is
Elder Scrolls Online.
Yes, thank you. Elder Scrolls Online does a very similar thing with their premium subscription service, and it makes sense. I applauded that subscription model coming from Final Fantasy 14 to Elder Scrolls Online because I was like, oh, it gives me the choice on whether I want to upgrade my account.
I had actually stayed subscribed even when I wasn't playing, knowing I would eventually come back and have a bunch of stuff basically stored up.
I'm still subscribed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think the biggest thing there in contrasting it to other, you know, sort of multiplayer online games is the fact that when you subscribe to a lot of these games, no longer can you just get, you know, people to sub for the price of getting access to the game and to the servers. You have to provide some sort of incentive. And I think this provides a cool incentive, but I do also look at it sideways with giving an advantage to the premium player.
Sure.
But at the same time, You almost have to
if
you're going to get that kind of stuff.
I think Bethesda would sidestep a lot of the hate being flung their way on this one if they also announced that the game was free to play. Like, it didn't cost anything anymore.
I mean, I agree. It's down to $30 now. It probably is going to go
off after a year. Not bad.
Yeah. I mean, it's probably going to shrink down to $20 at some point. One more thing I want to bring up about the subscription service. There is a new survival tent, which is a placeable fast travel point. It gives you a second free fast travel in there. So that's another membership benefit as well. And really, the private worlds, I think, are to someone who is playing all the time, or who has like a legendary loop that they run every day, you're assured to be able to get a fresh server. You're more assured to be able to do legendary hunting that way.
But would that take the fun out of it for you?
No, because there's a lot of seeing things that people have been requesting in the game that will only be coming to private servers, such as expanded building areas, increased camp budgets, and most important, workshop persistency. So that way, when you log off and come back on, you don't have to rebuild everything. It will stay there.
Yeah, and it looks like Bethesda is planning to add to this over time. And also, private worlds are the only way that mods end up coming to the game in any way, shape, or form. That's true. Listen, we want to hear from you. Which side of the fence did you land on? Do you think that Fallout 76 is a total joke? Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint underscore XP on Instagram. Still ahead on Checkpoint XP, we'll check in with our social media followers and find out what game you'd like to see swallowed up in a black hole and made better, kind of like Fortnite. That conversation will wrap up today's Checkpoint XP. But ahead next, HBO's Axios had a segment about esports, so we're going to tell you how they did. Stick around. That's ahead next on Checkpoint XP.
This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio. CheckpointXP.com.
HBO's Axios did a little spot on esports, and it's actually pretty interesting. Welcome back to Checkpoint XP, your home for esports and gaming. I want to thank everyone listening on Fox Sports WBSM 1340 AM in Florence, Alabama, and News Talk WGAC 580 and 95.1 in Augusta, Georgia. Make sure you're following us on our officially partner Twitch channel over at twitch.tv/CheckpointXP. We've got tons of new emotes, including each of our beautiful faces, as well as not one but two cat emotes. Tali and Fritz, our actual cats, are now Twitch emotes, and there's only one place to get them. It's at twitch.tv/CheckpointXP. HBO must have some people who are really interested in esports who work over there, because now there's two shows on HBO that have esports components to them. First, Ballers.
Yeah.
Yep. And, which is interesting.
And now the news program Axios.
Yeah, I got
an esports segment as well.
I got a message from my mom saying, "Oh my god, I just saw esports on HBO."
Yeah, I got the same thing.
And I went, "Oh, you're watching? I didn't know you watched Ballers." She's like, "No, on Axios." Not what. What?
First of all, you're like, "Mom, you watch Axios?
You watch Axios?" Yeah, wait, what?
Joe's mom is way cooler than he is, guys.
I first had to ask the question, what the hell is Axios? So Axios, Norris, we looked it up earlier today. These are the Politico folks.
That's right.
They're on their second season, and they do, you know, like investigative journalism sort of stuff.
Yeah, and so this particular piece featured as the last story of this week's Axios, exploring the Overwatch League and essentially the questions of viability of esports and the Overwatch League. And it talked more so about the business side.
The business end,
and
yeah.
A lot less of sort of the fishbowly look at what the kids are doing kind of stuff.
Really?
Yeah.
You got that?
Yeah.
I didn't. I felt like there was still very much an aquarium effect going on.
There's
because
some.
Here's and the thing is that you got to look at the way that the host kind of frames some of the questions. Mm-hmm. Because they go out of their first segment, they're talking to some of the San Francisco Shock players in their team house and just kind of asking them what life is like as a pro.
Right.
Our second segment takes us to a sports research institute that is doing traditional sports and esports, and we have to waste 5 minutes having someone who used to play hockey justify the existence of esports, which I was like, I don't need this. This bears no.
I disagree.
This bears no. This has no bearing on my life whatsoever.
I disagree with you because at some point there's some fish bowling that you have to do. I mean, we fish bowl sometimes on this show because we have to. You have to set context. And I think by going to a sports research firm and pulling in somebody who is a traditional athlete to say, you know what, I was skeptical, but there is no reason why this shouldn't
was
be considered
the whole
as a sport.
That was the whole point of going, that was, it seemed to be the whole point of going there, because I never found out in what way they're actually trying to help esports pros. It was like they gave it the validity of having a real athlete, and I'm using air quotes there, give it the validity of saying, yeah, it's actually a sport.
But they also
and she never actually says, yeah, it's actually a sport. She just kind of dances around the question a little bit.
No, but
and then they move on to the Philly finals.
No, they don't, because
yeah,
in the
do.
Very following question, they immediately bring up the viability of it. And then you talk about investment and you talk about the bubble. And that was the bridge into talking to the guy who was invested in the San Francisco shop. So you already had, I understand what your energy is, but you have to do that in order to bring in and make that bridge to talk about, is this something that is sustainable? And that is what that conversation was about with that guy. And then they even talked to Bobby Kotick, who owns Activision. I thought this was way more than what any other publication has done recently, and this is what he had to say.
Let's take the smallest of the four big pro sports leagues, the NHL. Could you see it being on the same par as that at some point?
I don't see any reason why it wouldn't eclipse most mainstream sports, because if you think about the size of the audience, let's take the NFL. It's about 100 million fans. We have 42 million Overwatch players today. Over time, if you have 100 million Overwatch players, is there a reason why you shouldn't be able to have sort of equivalent economics? I don't think there's a good reason.
I think he brings up a good point, but this is someone who is incredibly invested in the space.
Yeah.
He's probably not being as objective as he possibly can about it.
Not at all. And let's be honest here. The install base of Overwatch might be 42 million, but that doesn't include active accounts.
Correct.
People who are playing regularly, yeah.
Every day. So that is a little bit fudging of the numbers. But I will say this. What we learned at places like the Esports Business Summit is the fact that esports is gaining on traditional sports. That is a undeniable fact. And at this moment, you see stuff like the Overwatch League and League of Legends gaining on stuff like the NHL.
And it's worth noting, too, that just because the active player base of Overwatch is significantly smaller than what the install base is, that doesn't necessarily matter. I mean, not nearly as many people play hockey as watch it. I'd say 1% of the people who watch hockey actually play it.
That's true, but I mean, I don't know. I also, they talked to some cosplayers that were out at the Philly finals as well, and I had this moment of like, oh, they're just making the point that hot girls play video games, and they do that without actually having to say it, which made me feel pretty gross about it as well. I know that I've been kind of harsh on this, and I've been beating it up a little bit, but I do think that there was some good stuff. There were some good questions that were posed in the piece. I think that, you know, it was definitely fair in its assessment of the esports space, and the host wasn't terrible, but, you know, the takeaway for him, I think, is an important one.
This was a full house, not too many empty seats, but if they really want these franchises to be as valuable or more valuable as an NHL team or an NBA team, they've got to get entire cities interested, particularly when the teams are good. So that's the real test here. Clearly, they've got this core group. Can they expand it?
So that really is the question.
Yeah.
I mean, for all of the other faults of this piece, this is actually a very important question, not just for us who operate inside the space, but for all of the money that's coming in. You know, there was a very good point that was made that it seems like, you know, for critics, there's more money flowing in that could possibly ever flow out.
Yeah.
And I do believe that that is a concern and a consideration that people looking to enter the space should have.
Well, people say that there's a bubble in esports, and there's a potential bubble, right? Because what they say is very accurate. The insane amount of investment that's coming into the space so quickly, not all of those investments can possibly pay off. It's like, and that's not just true to esports. If it was a traditional sport, it'd be the same issue.
But, you know, we talk about this all the time, the way that Korea has about 15 years ahead of the United States in terms of esports. Well, they also have second generation esports fans, and this is important because when we start having kids and imparting the enthusiasm for esports that we have onto our kids, listen, if you think we're enthusiastic and want to stick with this stuff, just wait until they get into it. But we want to hear from you. Have you seen seen the Axios piece on esports. What did you think of it? Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint underscore XP on Instagram. Coming up next on Checkpoint XP Daily, we're going to check in with our social media followers and find out what game you'd like to see swallowed up by a black hole, just like Fortnite was, and get made better on the other side. Stick around. That conversation is ahead next on Checkpoint XP.
Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio. CheckpointXP.com.
It's Checkpoint XP's weekly social media question. Welcome back. I want to thank everyone listening on the Hawk 1340 in Wenatchee, Washington, as well as the Fan 97.1 in Columbus, Ohio. Make sure you visit our website, CheckpointXP.com, so you can subscribe to the Checkpoint XP Daily Podcast from B-Pod Studios. Get all the same discussions and interviews featured on this very radio show, plus many more conversations that didn't make it to air. This week, we talked about the absolute disaster that is WWE 2K20. Subscribe at our website, checkpointxp.com, or at bpodstudios.com, the place to be for podcast discovery. You can also follow us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint underscore XP on Instagram, so that you can respond to our weekly social media question. You know, last week we were talking about Fortnite getting sucked into a black hole. It was only gone for 2 days, but it inspired massive amounts of freakouts. So we ask you what game you'd like to see sucked into a black hole only to come out on the other side.
I'd like to point
out a better game.
That most of the people took this a little bit different and chose a bad game they wanted remade that was not the instructions, but
no.
Good try.
Well, I mean, I understand the logic there.
Sure.
Like, if a game, you know, like,
if you have a magic game improving black hole, yeah, you might as well throw some garbage
exactly.
into it.
Throw some garbage gold. Into it. And get something nice on the other end.
Exactly. Yeah, we just mentioned WWE 2K20. I mean, if you could suck that game into a black hole and make it functional, wouldn't you?
That'd be a good play.
But it's also the easy answer. You know, we wanted to challenge people. You had to risk, you know, a game you liked, right? So for me, I actually chose something that's a little bit more recent. I'd throw Borderlands 3 in there. Because as much as I enjoyed it, mm-hmm. right, I think they still could have improved on it quite a bit. You know, the replay going into like the true Vault Hunter mode, you know, was it left a little to be desired.
Yeah,
some of the scaling wasn't quite up to par, and I was really thinking that Borderlands 3 could have worked well as you know, taking sort of games as a service model, you know, putting in like legendary sort of monster hunts that you could do with your friends mm-hmm. and stuff like that, and even the cosmetics. You know, big on the cosmetics here on Checkpoint XP.
That's right.
Left a little to be desired.
So that's cool. So you actually did what everybody else did, which is throw a trash game into the
because I don't think it's a trash game.
So for me, I kind of took it a little bit more literally, and I said Xenogears. Not a trash game. Good game.
But
not
they
finished
didn't finish
game.
The end.
It's
See,
not
you didn't
a
do
finished.
Any
no,
you
it's
didn't.
Not a finished game.
You lose.
Nope, it's not finished. Just like 2K20. So you throw that in there, and I get my second disc of Xenogears mm-hmm. when it comes back. There you go.
No, they're going to improve the first disc and still not have the second disc finished.
Yeah,
is what you're going to get.
That's right.
I would love that if they just stood by it. They were like, no, that was the intended experience for the second disc. I don't know what you're talking about.
The black hole.
That's crazy.
Yeah,
that would hurt me.
That's crazy. Listen, for me, Norris, you're probably going to yell at me. But I've spent more time in this game than any other game this year, and I would throw my baby Fallout 76 in there. because
that's fair.
Listen,
what are you hoping for?
I love this game more than anything. I think really what I'm just hoping for is Wastelanders, what will eventually end up being the Wastelanders DLC.
Hold on,
yeah, kind
of. He just wants to do the whole space-time part of Black Hole, where he just throws it in and the DLC comes out quicker.
Well, I mean, that's the thing, though, is that the fandom is so split on what they want out of this game. I mean, I've gotten a lot of enjoyment out of it, but you know what? If it was bigger, if there was more landmass to explore, I think that would
be
cool.
You go.
All right,
right?
That's fair.
Like
that
would, like like a second map, something that goes up into the Capital Wasteland, mm-hmm. or even you get to see Boston before you go there in 4.
That'd be pretty sweet.
I would love all of those things. So, that's my answer. Joe, what about you?
Well, Nate, first of all, I appreciate that answer because you actually took kind of like something in the spirit of Fortnite, an online game that's still running today, and made it better.
Sure.
So I'm going to kind of go that same route. And for me, honestly, League of Legends. I feel like League of Legends.
You want League 2.
It is 10 years old. I don't want League 2.
Hang on. They already did this once.
And I mean, to be fair, it's kind of an unfair criticism of Riot because they do this kind of regularly. Every year, they try to do some nice refreshments to the map. I want a
full
big
overhaul.
Time overhaul.
New engine.
Like yes. If you go back and you watch videos of the original release of League of Legends, the difference
it is
from then to now.
Vomit.
It's horrible.
It looks so. How did this game ever take off? It looks so bad.
Dude, even the Baron animations are horrible.
It's all bad.
Yeah, Baron Nashor was originally like a quarter of the size that it is now. It was just like a little worm that came up. You're like, what is that a boss? Okay. No, I'd like them to do some real work, and it does sound like with the big elemental change that's happening,
some massive gameplay.
There's going to be some massive changes, but I would like to see a full overhaul of Summoner's Rift.
You're listening to Checkpoint XP Esports and Gaming Radio. We're currently going through our social media question. We ask you what game you'd like to see swallowed up like in a black hole, kind of like Fortnite was, and made better. So why don't we see what comments were coming in over social media?
All right, Andrew on Facebook says, "Dare I say it? Metal Gear Solid 5.
Ooh. Great answer. Here's the thing. Is the black hole Hideo Kojima? Because if it's not, I don't want that.
Yeah. What do you want out of Metal Gear Solid 5? Do you just want the ending, I assume?
Yes.
You
want the last I just want it finished.
So once again, you want the space-time continuum to branch off to where
you know what would have been dope? Is if after that fake ending you got, you basically had to play through Metal Gear 1 in the Metal Gear 5 engine.
Oh my god, that would be the greatest thing ever.
Fred on Facebook says, Overwatch. I love this game with a passion until Somber broke it. If I could go back and play the originals only, I might go back. Wait, you want Overwatch Classic? The game came out like 3 years ago. You can't have Overwatch Classic now.
First of all, go away. Nobody wants a de-sombered Overwatch.
Alex says Mass Effect Andromeda. I almost said Anthem, but the flying in Anthem is too perfect to risk.
Okay, no, see, you should have risked Anthem then.
Because Anthem, yeah. I'll tell you what, Anthem is one of the best answers that we've seen. And we did get that. Justin on Facebook says Anthem. That is a perfect answer.
Yeah, I think that that's probably the best answer that you could probably give out of all of the looter shooters.
Yeah.
Because it needs the most help, I think.
Or of a recent game.
That's true.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't think of another game in recent memory that was received as poorly outside of Fallout 76. That's the only one.
That and Battlefront.
Yep.
That's it.
Okay.
Those are it.
Yeah. Those are pretty epic catastrophes.
Yep. Andrew on Facebook says, every Sonic game after Sonic Adventure 2 and every Silent Hill game after Silent Hill 3.
You got to throw them all in.
No. I think that's fair.
No.
I think that's totally fair.
You can pick and choose.
Yeah. You don't throw the masterpiece that is Silent Hill 2 into the black hole.
First of all, where are these stipulations come from, Robbie?
Because we said you throw in your favorite game. That guy is deliberately saying, take all the bad games that I didn't like and make them better.
Kevin on Facebook says Mighty Number 9.
Okay, which, this one, no.
It's a good answer.
No, it's not
it's
a good answer.
Universally reviled.
Yeah, I would absolutely disqualify this from the allotted titles to go into the black hole.
Here, Davey. Davey says, I'm going to put my current favorite, Breath of the Wild. The only thing I'd personally improve would be adding weapon maintenance and repair so you can keep your favorites around, and some crafting building elements so you can set up camp and wait out in the rain in-game instead of real-time.
All right, one more.
Ravmal says, honestly, Overwatch. We don't need Overwatch 2. We just need a solid update with more heroes, modes, and maybe maps. And doing it with a major event at the current point in the timeline makes sense.
That would be cool. Yeah, that's actually
I'm
right on.
I'm all for that. All right, we got to leave it right there. Thanks for joining us for Checkpoint XP. For more info on the show, links to articles, and the Checkpoint XP podcast, head on over to CheckpointXP.com. Of course, make note of when you're catching us on your local radio station like WXSM Tri-Cities, Tennessee, as well as ESPN Phoenix 620. And remember to come back next week for more video game news and discussion. Join us Monday through Friday at 4 p.m. Eastern live at twitch.tv/CheckpointXP. Our theme is provided by the band Weird At Last. Find more at WeirdAtLast.com. Checkpoint XP is a production of Beasley Esports XP. I want to thank my crew, lead segment producing by Joe Sloan, producing and booking help from Chad Callahan, and of course my co-hosts who pull double duty as producers for Checkpoint XP, Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan. My name's A. Bender. Keep listening.
You've been listening to Checkpoint XP, a complete look at all things esports and gaming. Check out the latest esports and gaming news and opinions at CheckpointXP.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.